We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
I pray for a touch, a strong touch of your grace and mercy and healing upon them. In Jesus' name, we implore you, Lord. We ask you. We say, come near to us right now and touch in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we ask for your spirit to touch us, to touch us. We ask for your spirit. There is nothing that can touch us without you. We need your name, the name above every name, Jesus. We ask for a supernatural touch, and we believe for healing. We believe for complete healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we ask for testimonies in Jesus' name. If you're standing out there and you need a touch, just raise your hand. Lord, we receive it from you. We receive it from you today. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what we're going to do right now is just take a moment. We're just going to take a moment and be thankful. We're going to take a moment and receive. Just receive. Just receive. Oh, hallelujah. Just receive in this atmosphere of worship. We receive. We receive your joy. We receive your peace. Everyone in the room. Everyone in the room needs something today, and we receive it from you today. We receive the fruit of the Spirit today in our life. We receive peace. Give us patience. Let us be kind. Oh, we bask in your presence today. As if there's an oil that's running over our hands. We ask in Jesus' name. You fill us with more of your spirit. Teen says, Jesus said, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. Will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give, the water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. I've heard that before, Stephen. I know that verse. I know. We just went to Florida for a week. It was awesome. My in-laws, Cynthia's mom, takes the whole family. She took us last year, and she took us again, the whole family, all 20 of us, to a beach house. And it was really, you know, it was tough that we had to do that, because we really wanted to be with you guys so much. I wanted to be here with you. It's true. I mean, I did want to be with you, but I didn't want to be with you while I was sitting on the beach. And in fact, Stephen didn't come back. I'm his Hispanic younger brother, if you noticed my tan today. That didn't go over so well, but I had three people tell me, are you Stephen's Hispanic? They all said that same joke, so I thought I would repeat it. But, you know, one of my favorite things to do at the ocean is to just go way out deep in the water. And especially at the place we are at, I didn't post pictures, but some of our family did, and it was tagged. I was tagged in them. You'll have to look at how beautiful the water is. I didn't want people to see it because I don't want you to. I don't ever feel jealous when I see other people's pictures. I just want you to know. But maybe you have a little bit of jealousy in you, so I didn't want you to have to see that. But you'll have to go look at them now because they're up there. But the water was beautiful, and I would go out early, like 6 in the morning. I would get up at 4 and fast and pray till 6. No, I fasted. But that was because I had to, yeah, anyways. I was out in the water at 6 in the morning. No one else. Everyone's sleeping. I guess they're on vacation, so they're sleeping. I go out in the ocean by myself. I was literally, for miles, the only one on the beach either way. And I probably went out. I felt like it was a mile out. It was a long ways. It was farther than Cynthia could see me out on the paddleboard. And just sitting out there and being away from Jaden. No. Just kidding. He's so sweet. But sometimes you just need some quiet, and it's just so still and quiet out there in the ocean, and you're just watching the beauty of God. And I had my goggles, and I would every now and then jump off the paddleboard and just look around to make sure that I was safe. And one time, while I was out there, I jumped off, got my goggles on, and looked, just did a 360 around to make sure, you know, and there was a shark right below me. And I jumped on that board, and I got in, right? But, you know, there's a fear of going deeper in the water, in the ocean. There's a fear. I also saw one day, I saw an eel come right at me, and it scared me to death. And another day, I saw about 1,000 jellyfish that all of a sudden just showed up. And there's a fear, but there's also in that a beauty of a risk, of taking a risk and doing something instead of just sitting on the beach, of getting out there into the water. And I think the Holy Spirit would want to say to me, and maybe to you as well, that, you know, there is a difference between, like I said, waiting on the Lord and then wading, W-A-D-I-N-G, into the water. There's a difference, and there's a place for both of those. But at times, I think we might wait, W-A-I-T, so long that we miss an ocean of opportunity, of beauty that God wants to bring into our lives. I think that we only have seen a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit could, what God could do in our lives if we just waited a little bit more. And there's a prophecy that I would like to share with you, and I'm positive that it's biblical. I'm positive that it's 100% right. And this is the prophecy. It's found in Ezekiel 47. So that's why I know it's right. It's a prophecy to some people. It was a prophecy to Israel, but it was also a prophecy that Ezekiel didn't even know the people that would be ministered to through it later. It's obviously also for the end times, for the when Jesus comes back for us, for the millennium, for those 1,000 years of beauty in God's kingdom, but it's for now as well. All theologians agree, I studied this very closely, that it is obvious that it's also talking about the church of today, which was 20 years ago, and the church of today, which is today. It's found in Ezekiel. I want you to find it in your Bible or look up at the screen. And I didn't forget about you guys, but you sound pretty, so would you be let you them pretty. I would like you to stay up here and play. I know we concluded about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago, but I feel like this might be an epilogue, something to add to the end. Is that what an epilogue is? Add to the end of that series that answers a couple of questions that you might have. What do I do next? Where do I go from here? How do I respond when the Spirit is calling me? The Spirit is drawing you. He's drawing you to Himself. It's a season of drawing to Him. I'm speaking to everyone, and I'm speaking individually to one in the room that's questioning that today. He's drawing you closer. What do you do next? Ezekiel 47, it says this. I'm just going to read the first two verses. I'll explain it to you, but take this not as a broad word, but as an individual personal invitation to Bill, to Juanita, to Stephen, to Dustin, to all of us, a personal invitation. It says, the man brought me, Ezekiel's talking, says the man brought me to the entrance to the church or to the temple. The temple is Jesus. That's who it is. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. What does that water represent? Everywhere in the Bible, the Spirit of God. I saw water coming out from the threshold towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Thank you for being so specific, Ezekiel. I don't know north and south. You have to tell me, which is it, by the snack bar? Is it by the sound bar? Where is this coming from? Well, he keeps going. He then brought me to the north gate and led me through to the outside of the outer gate facing east, which is whatever way, probably Kendall knows which way that is. The water was trickling down from the south side. The point I'm making is maybe you don't understand each There's a sermon in each of those, the south side. These, you could talk about all the significance of the gates and the water, but this is it. The water represents the Spirit. The temple represents Jesus, and the water is flowing, and it's talking about the end times. It's talking about the church. It's talking about how powerful the gospel will be in the last days. The water is coming out all directions. It's not just one certain direction. It's flowing out, and it's becoming a river. It's flooding the plains, and it's becoming a river. That's what's going on here. The most obvious observation there, of course. And then let's go on. If you question, is the Spirit moving in my life? Does he have something to do? The river is flowing. We just got to jump into it. As the man went eastward, verse 3, now it gets interesting, with a measuring line in his hands, I'll explain, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. 1,000 cubits is about 5 football fields, 5 or 6 football fields. You know what a football field looks like here in America? That's how I determine things. I don't determine it by, oh, it's 1,500 feet is 1,000 cubits. It's picture walking 5 football fields with this man. This man is probably an angel walking with Ezekiel. It's not happening literally. It's happening in the spirit. I've read and I've heard and I've talked to people who have had experiences where they were almost like it's a virtual reality where they're going somewhere, they're slain in the spirit, or they're just praying and they go somewhere else out of their bodies. I don't know if that's exactly what was happening here, but he's a prophet. Ezekiel was a little bit different. And trust me, I'm sure that people took what he said and were wondering, who is this guy? He's different. But he says he took him 5 football fields into the water, which was ankle deep. The measuring, what does the measuring have to do with? This is judgment. The angel is judging the man's steps. We measure up people all the time. Okay. You're a third baseman. You're sitting right there. I'm sorry, Tim, but you're a third baseman. You're a pitcher. That's what you are. I bet you're very competitive in softball. Well, I know that about him. You measure people up. I bet you, you're a pretty good dresser. Well, I wonder if they're as good a dresser as me. I wonder if they could beat me in a race. We measure, as kids, we did that. He's measuring up Ezekiel right now, and he's judging. He's judging him. He's taking 5 football fields length of measurement, and he judges him. And I want to ask you today, are you letting the Spirit measure you? Are you letting him measure where you're at with the things of God? Are you measuring it yourself and saying, I think I'm in a good spot right here. No, are you letting the Spirit measure you? When you let Jesus, when you let the Bible become a mirror to you and look at your life, it can become convicting. Like my friend Jim said today, it can convict. It shouldn't condemn. That's what the devil does. And people that are stuck in shallow, deep water let the condemnation do more than the convicting. The Holy Spirit would convict and say, are you in ankle-deep water today? Now, there's believers who ankle-deep water is a giant step into the right direction. I'm not coming against, stepping out into the water, into ankle-deep water. That might be a great big step for you. But I think God has called us deeper. He measured off another. Let me just say one more thing about that. Shallow water, ankle deep. Would you all agree that's shallow? Shallow water. I would probably entitle this ad-lib talk, don't be shallow, or don't settle for shallow in your life. What is shallow? I meet believers who are shallow, who have been Christians their whole life and are still shallow, maybe spiritually shallow. They haven't confronted maybe an issue that is there. They're just letting it go, hoping to get deeper into the water, and they're going nowhere. Spiritually shallow, avoiding issues, believing the devil's press. That's pretty shallow. Don't believe what he says. When he says something, don't believe it. He's trying to get you down. It'll keep you in ankle-deep water. God didn't call us to be shallow. Would you agree? He didn't call me to be shallow. He didn't call you to be shallow. He didn't call you to be shallow in your relationships. And he didn't call you to be shallow in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, with your relationship with him. He didn't call you to that. Let's move on. He measured off another 1,000 cubits. He took him another long walk into the water. Now it was knee deep. It was knee deep. You know, I'm sorry to bring this up, but this is where I've been. This last week we went to the ocean and I walked into the water and you could walk, not this fast, but you could walk, you could walk, you could walk, and the water was still shallow. The place we went there is sandbars, and you just keep walking. You could get way out in the water and still be only knee-deep. Jaden could go a mile into the water and still be knee-deep. I think God would say to us, you might have the appearance or the illusion that you're walking. And this is not for a new believer, but those maybe who have been believers for a long time. Yes, you're walking, but you're only still only knee deep. You might even be able to tell, oh, that person, they're shallow. They're knee deep. You can even identify in them, and you might be in the same place as them. And it says that the angel brought him out into this water, or the man brought him out into this water to kind of say, this is nice where you're at. But I think he continues to take him further. You know, there are people that come to church. There are people that I meet, maybe not here today, obviously, because of this. I know when I see them, I won't see them again for a month, 2 months. Now, I'm not talking about you. I know you moved. You came back and you're getting your family. Don't worry, I'm not talking about you. I know I won't see them for a while. Because they might only be knee-deep, and they can go back this just as easily as they can go forward into the water. And that's not always a measurement of where your heart is with God, how often you go to church. Please know, I know that. But let me encourage you. If you're in knee-deep water, you didn't get there by accident. The Spirit brought you to that place. And he wants to fulfill, he wants to continue to complete the work that he begun in you. And he wants to take you further in. I almost feel like the knee deep would represent in the Bible the verse that no one likes to talk about, right? I wish you were in Revelation chapter 3. I wish you were either. He was talking to a church that was either, they were right in the middle. They were lukewarm. He says, I wish you were cold or I wish you were hot. I wish you were in the shallow. I wish you were sitting on the beach in your bikini, showing it off to everyone, or way out deep. I don't want you in the middle. I want you not lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, pretty much can't have a relationship with you. That was Jesus talking to the church. Wait, I thought you're merciful and gracious. Well, let's not go to that verse, but it's almost like that knee deep. It's almost lukewarm. It's no good. Keep going. Verse 4. He measured off, second part of verse 4. He measured off another 1,000. And I can imagine Ezekiel at this point is realizing, oh no, where am I going? And where is God wanting to take the church? Where is God going? What is he doing? He measured off, he walked another 1,000 cubits into the water. At this point, he starts to get nervous. Because I don't know if you've been in the ocean or you've been in a river at waist deep. at waist deep, up to your waist. It's not about, oh, knee deep, I can go this way, that way. You're in. You're in. And you're saying, well, yeah, you can get out. But take it, go with me. There is currents coming underneath that are starting to take you off your feet. There's no way I could take a little boy into the waist deep into the water without the water washing him down the current. And you have to stand your ground when you're waist deep. This is the point where you're starting to lose control. Have you been there this week? I see some smiles. And you say, oh yeah, I'm in waist deep. Oh, I'm in deep right now, trust me. And it could be negative waist deep. It can be a trial. It can be a process that you're in the middle of because you haven't seen the product yet. You haven't seen the end. You haven't seen the part where God comes through and you're able to testify. You're in waist deep and you're losing control. But I think what he's more saying here than losing control negatively and stepping in waist deep is to lose control in the spirit, that you say, I'm giving it up. I surrender. I'm starting to feel like I don't have easy ground. And sometimes that's not good, and that's not biblical. Sometimes you need to stand on the word of God. Spirit, that spirit is one thing, but the truth is one. You need to stand on the truth, but then the spirit starts to take you somewhere. You need to let your feet up and let him take you. Because the Father God is Jesus, is God, is the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to take you somewhere wrong. You might have seen a man take you somewhere wrong in the spirit. Let's go. Come with me. I'm going somewhere. And it may be wrong. It might have been, I know I say this a lot, but bad branding of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit begins to pull you off your feet and you begin to just start to float into the water, he's taking you somewhere to get rid of fears, not to go into fears, to get rid of worries, not to go into worries. You're going, you're moving. God is bringing you to another place. And you feel like, oh, I hope that he's, if the Spirit is in it, he would close doors if he didn't want you to go somewhere else. He's opening doors. He's opening doors for you. How many like to keep your control? Raise your hand. All of us. How many like to, oh, I like to lose control. That's me. I love losing. No. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, and we're almost done. It doesn't keep going and going and going. Verse 5, he went even farther. They're already in waist deep, and he goes further. And it says, now it was a river that I could not cross. Say, could not cross. It was a river I could not cross because the water had risen and was now deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. Well, that sounds negative. Usually when you get into a river, you want to get to the other side. Why did the chicken cross the river to get to the other side? We want to get to the other side. But the point in the spirit realm, word and wonder, spirit and truth, logos and rhema, is for you to not get to the other side. It's just for you to get in and let him take you where he wants. No one wants to do that. I get in the water so I can't cross. I'm not able to cross. It's called surrender. It's called surrender. There's a song that these men have been playing for the last 20 minutes. It's called surrender. It's not about controlling things. It's about releasing your fears and trusting him. I have one more verse to share, but we're going to close. We'll close with the verse. We're going to receive the offering in a couple minutes. I won't forget today. But take a moment right now and respond to Father God. You can bow your heads, get on your knees, close your eyes. There's a young man or a young woman that God is speaking this directly to your life. to step out and become shallow into the shallow water. That's okay right now. Maybe it's time for you to be in the shallow. You've been sitting on the beach. Someone else is calling to get into the water ankle deep. Someone else knee deep. Someone else waist deep. You've been walking with the illusion of going deep and you're not. Your relationship with Jesus is so stagnant. You haven't given it away to anyone. You haven't ministered to anyone. There's no way you would call what's inside of you a river. You would call it a lake at best. A swamp, probably more accurately. It's not fun to say things like that unless I know it's going to bring encouragement. It's going to bring a positive out of what I say, because the Word of God is living and active and able to penetrate between your mind and your soul, your heart and your brain. It's able to penetrate your thoughts, your judgments, and what's real and what's not real. That's in Hebrews. And He's judging you right now. I can't judge. You can't judge. God can judge. He's the only judge. And He would measure, not in a condemning way, but judging. Hey, I have somewhere else to take you, and you want to go there with me. Trust me. Don't settle for shallow, because there is an ocean of opportunity available to you. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. Let the Spirit talk to you right now. Are you waiting or waiting? There's a time to wait and there's a time to wade. And God would say, it's time. Take another step. It's not one moment. It's not one Sunday. It's not one sermon. Thank God it's not one sermon. It's a journey. But churches, fellowships will take us to another place in our journey. Let them take you. Hard times are part of the journey. You'll encounter sharks, you'll encounter starfish, hopefully not jellyfish, that's what I meant to say. You'll encounter them, but on the other side is something beautiful, something life-giving. Who's here and doesn't know Jesus as your Savior? You know exactly what I'm saying. You say, well, no one knows that I don't know Him, but I don't. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not in ankle-deep water even. Or if I am, at best, I'm lukewarm. I'm not hot. I don't feel like I'm cold anymore, but I'm not lukewarm. You need Jesus. You need to testify to Him. You need to declare Him as your Savior. You need to voice that today. If that's you in the room, everybody's eyes are closed. Because I know that you're walking in shallow water. You don't want anyone else to see that. It's not a representation that you're shallow. It's a representation that the Spirit is calling you deeper. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be shy. Raise it real high. And then you can put it right back down again. Who else? Who else? I'm waiting. Wait too long. I got it. I got you. I'll wait way too long for this one. I'm going to wait for you. Who is that? Who else? You need to take that step. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Just wait. We'll just wait. I surrender. Who are you? Everybody's eyes closed, please. Everybody's eyes closed. Raise your hand. You know he's calling you. Amen. Who in this room, you can open your eyes, would say that there are times that you're at best waist deep. You need to get in over your head. Maybe you've been over your head at times, but you need to get back. You need to get back in. You need to trust that the current underneath me is going to take me a good place with the Spirit. You just raise your hand up. Let it be known. Let it be known to the Spirit. Amen. 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 Who else? Amen. You can put it back down. Notice I cannot measure you. It's only God can measure you. So whether you raise your hand or not, he's measuring you up today. And he's saying, I want you to go deeper. What I got for you is full of life. Full of life. Don't settle for shallow. Would you stand to your feet today? You know, next week, I believe, is the 22nd. Is it? And we have a baptism scheduled for the 22nd. We're going to do a baptism service outside. It's a way to show what's happening on the inside of you. I don't know a better way to jump into the shallow or jump into the deep than to get baptized. If you need to do that, never been water baptized before, make sure to let us know. There's a couple of you, but we'd love more of you to take that opportunity. We don't do it very often, so make sure not to miss it. Not to miss it. Would you say this prayer with me? John 7:37, one of my favorite verses, is an invitation to us as well. It says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Bible said, rivers of living water will flow from within you. This is a different scripture than the one in John 4. It says the same thing. By this, in case you are wondering, verse 39, he meant the Spirit, one whom those who believed in him were later to receive. All of us can receive that. We're going to close our service the same way. Where is God taking you when you walk into the water deep, when you go in over your head? I have to finish this prophecy, if for any other reason, to do Ezekiel the credit for what he said next. Because I think that we weigh our options and we say, well, maybe I don't, it's not worth it for me to go deeper into the water. I promise you, when you go deeper into the water, you'll see things you haven't seen before. And grace, like you said, charis, gifts will flow out of you as you begin to discover them, as you begin to develop them, as you begin to use them. We all have gifts. Maybe you're not using them. Maybe you have them and you haven't been using them. As you discover them, as you develop them, as you use them, you're going to see life happen. And this is what it says happen next. It's the last part of his prophecy. Don't settle for shallow. He says, he led me back to the bank of the river, verse 7. When I arrived there, I was thankful that I was not in the water anymore. He says, when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees. On each side of the river, he said to me, the water flows towards this and this way and this way, and it enters the Dead Sea. And then the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live there. Wherever the river flows, there will be large numbers of fish, which represents gifting, which represents fruit. The trees on the side represent God blessing you. Wherever the river flows, things will live. Fishermen will stand along the sides and they'll spread their nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps will not become fresh. They'll stay the same. They'll stay the same. They'll stay the same. They'll stay the same way they've been every Sunday that they come to church. For fruit trees, verse 12, of all kinds, which is representing obviously fruits and gifts of all kinds. If we don't have fruit in our life, we're just a tree. that's not fruitful, we're not believers. We need to see fruit. Fruit of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river as they stay close, I add this, to Jesus. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit. Every month they will bear fruit. Not once a quarter they will bear fruit. Every month, every day, let's say every hour, they will bear fruit as they're connected to the river and the sanctuary that flows. Remember the temple connected to Jesus. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Everywhere that God is, life is, color is, adventure is, fruit is. I want us as a body of believers not to grow into a big church. That's not my goal. If that happens, wonderful, but it's not to grow a big church. It's to grow people who discover, who develop, who use their gifts and see life, see trees, see fruit, see birds, see animals, see fish around them. Would you say this with me? Heavenly Father, as we close today, thank you for being so obedient to pray with me. That's good. Thank you. Continue to pray here. As we close today, we ask to be open, to be surrendered, to not be fearful, to not be worried, that when we give you control, when we lose control, that you will not come through. We expect to see life, trees, fruit, fish. We expect to see your Spirit move through us as we see what you can do through us. In Jesus' name, everybody says, take a moment, look to Jesus. Don't say amen yet.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.